oh man, this episode's awesome. And it's because it is the episode that you will leave with some of the most practical lessons to take home. Al and Jesse are a lawyer and a contractor that both started off as one-person operations and have built these extremely profitable businesses off the back of online content and digital strategies that you can execute. And we're going to go through all that stuff in this episode. Trust me, approaching it this way is so much more scalable than a sales floor. And if a lawyer and a contractor can do it, then an IT company can do it, an insurance brokerage could do it, a commercial realty company can do it. You see what I'm getting at? It's the typical company can do this stuff, not just big tech companies that are already doing this. And if you're a big tech company, tons of takeaways here as well. Also, this was a live show. My buddy John Gasso, who's a lawyer in Orlando, showed up. So after this call, he was so inspired, we took a call. And that is next week's episode. Next week's episode is going to be how to get started on the way to this. This episode is what it looks like, what the journey looks like. Next week's episode is how to get started on the way to build out a content strategy for yourself as well. You're going to notice this is a live episode. This is that internet talk show I'm always talking about. We're doing these every 2 weeks on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. By the time you listen to this, probably too late to join the one with Doug Burdett. That's going to be awesome. He's read over 350 marketing books. He's going to dish out all his best strategy. But the one coming up is going to be amazing. It's my buddy Jerry McNamara, who's been the CEO of three different companies that he scaled above $100 million, has been on the Inc. 500 list, the Franchise 500 list, has been named Ultimate CEO. And for the last 2 years, he's been researching companies that are on the Inc. 500 that have won Best Place to Work awards. And he's come away with some key insights of how to get there. So if you're building a company, you're a leader in a company, you're going to want to be at that episode, interact with Jerry, ask him questions live. In order to do that, connect with me. It's in the show notes. Connect with me on LinkedIn, connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, wherever it is you connect with me, you're going to see me promoting this stuff. Mondays, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Hope to see you there. For now, enjoy this one. It is a good one. If you know how it is, then you know how it might be. But think what it would look like if you grow your own community. It ain't easy. That's why you're listening to hear experiences from others just like you and me. Welcome to the B2B Community Builder Podcast, a show that was started because if you can unlock the power of having a community around your business, then you will create a source of referrals, validation, marketing content, and product feedback that will be unbeatable. But who has time to think about building a community when you need to be making sure that your team has what it needs to succeed in serving clients and bringing in revenue? That is why we'll be talking to business leaders like you and I that have cracked the code on why the community play is so valuable, how to implement tactics that got them there while still serving short-term goals, and what they can teach you that they have mastered. This show's for you if you are a CEO, CMO, or simply a rainmaker that has realized that without a community, you are just a commodity, but haven't figured out how to add it to your infinite list of priorities. This show is for you if you are a community professional or trying to be a community professional that is trying to convince leadership about the need to invest in a community strategy. This show is not for you if you think transactions are more valuable than relationships. I am your host and chief executive connector, Pablo Gonzalez, co-founder of BeTheStage.live, a marketing company that specializes in relationship-driven growth. I invented the relationship flywheel, and hopefully, I'm your new best friend. So smash that subscribe button, leave a rating when you do, and get ready to plug into the power of community creation for business development. Let's go. Welcome, everybody, to the B2B Community Builder Show. I am your host and chief executive connector, Pablo Gonzalez. And this is a live internet talk show. This is what my company preaches. That is the move in order to grow revenue from relationships by leveraging content. And I'm really, really pumped for this episode because I've got a couple of guys that I'm friends with, that I play poker with, that I hang out with, that I've, you know, I really enjoy spending time with, that live here locally in Jacksonville. But more importantly than that, one is a lawyer and one is a general contractor. And there was a time in my life where the majority of my network was made up by lawyers and contractors and finance people and commercial realtors and the type of business that lives and dies by networking, by going to Chamber of Commerce events, charities, shaking hands, following up, taking coffee meetings, things of that sort, and referrals. And I think that within that circle, there is this false belief that content is not for them, that internet content is not for them. They're an old school business. This is a new school thing for kids. And I'm bringing on these two fellas to shatter those myths. First guy I'm bringing on, I like to call him the content monster, and we're here for the feeding. He is a lawyer that they call the Prince of Probate, who not that long ago was working for somebody else, knew that he was the smartest guy in the room, was looking for a way to build his own empire, and took a shot, man. He built it up. He built up his book of business independently by networking, by speaking, then by content. He launched the law offices of Al Nicoletti, and he is nothing short of a local celebrity here in Jacksonville and on Facebook and everywhere that I see him. Larger than life, a guy with an amazing presence that I love hanging out with, Al Nicoletti. Al, welcome to the show, man.
Pablo, thanks so much. Hey, I love being here with you and Jesse. This is so fun, right? Like, big personalities. We get to be here. We get to share our knowledge of digital content and make it happen. So I don't know if you want me to do the full introduction yet, because I know we got Jesse. I want to hear that intro. So I'm so happy to be here, Pablo. We'll let it.
I'm happy to watch the content monster eat, big boy. I'm in. All right. Up next, he came on my radar because Al Nicoletti, he's also the host of the Al Nicoletti Show. Let's not forget about that.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise.
Which I was on, and that's how we all got introduced.
That's where I was going, Jay Lane. So Jesse Lane came into my radar because Al Nicoletti has a show. And I repurposed the content for Al Nicoletti. We're gonna talk about it. I help Al with what he's doing, and we'll see.
We're going to build your business too, Pablo.
Sure. I'm in on that. I'm all about that. So as I am repurposing content, I finally talk Al into going all in on content. He goes all in on content to an insane level, and he's just putting it out there, lining people up. And then he hits me up and he's like, man, I just got this one guy. He's a big deal. He is this contractor. He's got this YouTube channel. He puts out a ton of content. He's got this growing business. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, cool, whatever, Al. That's just a number to me. I'm just out here repurposing content. But then a couple months later, we all join up for a poker night and Jesse Lane shows up and we just start casually talking about it. And by the end of the night, Jesse and I are like, I got to leave, right? Like, Martha's upset with me that I haven't been home yet. And I'm like leaving and we walk outdoors and Jesse and I get into this like 45-minute conversation of how, you know, he is one of the fastest growing companies in Jacksonville, how he's turning down, I think what you said, it was 10 million bucks a week, which I have hedged to 10 million bucks a month.
Some weeks that was 10 million. Some months are larger or smaller, but yeah.
There you go. So he's turning down significant work as a contractor. He has been rated the fastest. Yeah, I'm sure it does. He's rated one of the fastest growing companies in all of Jacksonville. He's killing it. He's made a name for himself, he's able to pick the projects that he wants. He has a YouTube channel that is about to break the 1 million views threshold, which is no joke, right? Like that's real. Super awesome guy. Love hanging out with him. Decent poker player. Jesse Lane, welcome to the show, Jesse.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I suck at poker, but I was glad that I got the opportunity to meet you at that night. So we hit it off. But yeah, we're here to talk about marketing, right? I mean, marketing is how my business has grown from 250,000 a year, 500,000 a year, 1,000,006 a year, 1,000,008 a year, COVID, 2 million, 15 million, you know? So it's exploded really a short time after I kind of dug into the social media atmosphere. I've always been on social media. I've always loved making videos, but I really started targeting into general contracting and entrepreneurship on YouTube, you know, versus being a little bit scattered across the gamut. You know?
Got it, man. We're gonna dig deep into that. Before we dig into that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is Jesse's first time going live. Jesse, literally, he was like a newborn baby going live. He's just like, this is my Instagram. What do I do?
Yeah, I was like, dude, it's not going live. I'm like, oh, I got to be, I said, airplane mode on and whatever. So I'm live over here. So if you see me talking, if you're on Zoom and I'm just talking to the Instagram people.
I get it. You're a celebrity, Jesse. You got to cater to your fans. All right. So before we get into this, I got a little tradition on the live shows I do. It's a roll call. I want to welcome you. If you have taken time in your day to show up live to this thing, I love you for it. Adam Nimick, you're my guy. I love you, man. I love me some Adam, right? Like Yellowbird. Adam, I actually recently had the chief evangelist of BombBomb on, which I know that means something to you. Chris Orm, welcome to the show. Lauren Amon, who is my new best friend that I met at a conference in Dallas, welcome to the show. Nate Samuelson, I think that's Nate. That's Nate who we play spikeball with, Nate, right? If I'm not mistaken, welcome to the show. Neil Brown, another fixture in the real estate community here in Jacksonville. Good to have you. Robert Espin, Bobby Espin. This is what we call, where I come from, a Cuban cousin. When you, the guy that you grow up around because your parents were best friends from Cuba and you've known your whole, that's a Cuban cousin. That's what Bobby Espin is to me. Bobby, I'm so pumped that you're here. He's a realtor. I know he does great things in Miami. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. If you want to interact, and I want this to be a fully immersive experience, right? Like the reason why you're not listening to this on podcast, you're showing up live, is to get context, right? So, and to meet people. So I check in the chat, change from host and panelists, which is what is defaulted to, and change it to everyone. Introduce yourself in the chat, start connecting in the chat, make friends. The beauty of online events is that you can network with the speakers and you can network with the attendees while taking in the content of the speaker. So make the best of that, interact in the chat. And if you got a question that you want me to ask Al or you want me to ask Jesse online, live here, I ask that you put it in the Q&A because sometimes the chat moves really, really fast and the Q&A stays right in front of me. So I have limited talent. I might go cross-eyed trying to keep track of everything. Who knows? Help a brother out. But without further ado, fellas,
let's get into it.
Jesse, you're just chomping at the bit, bro.
All right, I'm ready. All right. Ask questions if you want.
Let's do it. The first thing I want to know is a snapshot of your business. Al, less than a year ago, you were working for somebody else. You know, my advice for you back then was, hey, man, build this online platform before you need it, before you jump off, so that you have a head start going into it. You started your business at the beginning of the year. Give me a snapshot of kind of like where you're at in your business, however you want to phrase that.
So just to give everybody context, I left the firm back in March. I had no idea what was going to happen, what the turnout was going to be, but I knew it was time, right? Like we talked about that. And when I left, I said, I really got to hit the ground running, make sure I keep up with all my content and just pound it out there. So rewind about 6 months, you and I had connected. We never had that podcast going until about like October or September. And that's when like a light bulb went on and I was like, yeah, I'm posting my videos. I'm out there. I'm doing all the networking and everything. But there was this, I needed to have some kind of show, like a podcast, like bringing people on, connecting people in the community. So that's when you and I connected about doing the podcast and, you know, it became the Al Nicoletti Show, bring like 40 people on, like went a little overload. You know, I couldn't even release people's episodes until September of this year. And from there, you know, I kept recording. I was a part of that firm and things were growing. And I realized we really hit a point of outpacing the growth. I need to do my own thing. I make the jump, right? And I'm doing walk and talk videos. I'm posting the podcast. You can't even tell that there's a transition, right? You can't even tell that there is. And so I make the jump. I post the content out there. And now I'm running the firm. I noticed by August, things were picking up. I have exponentially increased my business. I want to say about probably 60 probate cases all going on at once. This weekend, I filed 13 probate cases on a Saturday because we had so much from a conference that I was at. I was backlogged. So things have been booming. And that's not only because of the results that I'm able to bring, right? So part of the business is results. Obviously, you can't get to marketing without results. You can market all you want, but if you can't do the results, what is it? So results plus the marketing has exponentially increased my business with videos and constantly posting. Consistency has helped me to get where I am.
That's one thing I notice about you, Al, is like every time I go on Facebook, there's a new video. It's like Al with the suit, you know, it's just like, I'm Al Nicoletti. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And this is the issue. I mean, this is the solution to this issue, you know?
Yeah, but that's the thing, Jesse. People love content that's information, that's not just somebody sitting behind the desk and talking about something. And that's what I realized too, is that you just got to be out there. You got to get out of your element. You have to be able to talk while people are walking by and not care, right? That's a hard thing. So first, it's hard for people to talk in front of people. And second, it's hard to talk in front of people that are not even there to watch you, that are just like passerbys. And then it's another thing to talk in front of a camera that's not even a person. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. Like I go to my job sites, right? So for me, I'm in my office right now. So there's office, but it's interesting for you. The office is the only, like, you don't have job sites, right? Unless you go to a property or look at one of these, but you're an attorney. So that's interesting. So for me, I have that luxury of mixing it up versus someone like you or anyone else that's watching. Like, if you sit at a desk, you can still make content, but you have to be a little bit more creative. It's almost like a treat for yourself there. You know, you can see that as a little, yes, I get to film. I get to go outside. You're at a golf course. You're at downtown. You're just walking to the beach, whatever it is. You're everywhere in Jacksonville.
So tell us about you, man. Like what's going on with your business? What's happening? See, this is what's going to happen. Pablo's going to go from host and all of a sudden it's going to like transition to me. And then you're going to be asking questions of both of us.
I'm super into this. Yeah. Jesse, give us a snapshot of your business right now.
Yeah. So I had a question. Do I use Blue Book on Instagram for marketing? And no, I actually don't. It's strictly Google. So, all right. So backstory, just a quick synopsis of where my business is at today. So last year I did like roughly $2 million, a little bit less. COVID was hitting. This is annual revenue, gross revenue. This year we'll do about 15. So 15 million is what's kind of slated for this year. And, you know, give or take, probably could be a little bit more depending on the projects we land. But, long story short, business is really, really exploding. I mean, we've worked our way up to the number one rated general contractor in Jacksonville. In 2019, we won the Jacksonville Best General Contractor Award. And that same year, we were the number one fastest growing business in Jacksonville, number 38 out of the 5,000 list on Florida. So they dial it down. But then we won it again in 2020, and which is a horrible, it was a rough year, but this has two consecutive years, like whatever. Anyway, so long story short, we're trying to do it again, you know, but what they're looking at, it's like Alden White is so much better than me. You know, my partners and stuff always kind of make fun of me because it's like, dude, like you're not Haskell. Haskell is a $1 billion company that is global, you know, and I'm just like, well, even my paper has like my logo on it. You know what I mean? Like, not that I'm a paper guy, but Google has changed my life. YouTube has changed my life. The online world has changed my whole realm, you know, of who calls me, the people out of Texas and Oklahoma and Colorado or in France or this, that. We want to build something in Jacksonville. They're from New York. They want to do multifamily apartments. We're doing 400 or 500 different apartment renovations. Unit renovations right now in Jacksonville. And we just wrapped up an airplane hangar for the Fernandina Beach Airport, you know, an animal clinic, a skincare clinic, an oxygen facility. We're building another animal clinic for the same client. Again, right now we're doing I just ate cheesecake from my Sweet Cravings by Char, is a new dessert shop built out. She just gave a cheesecake. The week before I was drinking these flavored beers from our Disco Witch Brewery in Yulee that we're designing right now. So all these projects we do, design, build. I don't want to talk too much.
No,
so
you're good. You're good. Jesse,
people are here.
I love it, man. Listen, you're hitting on something that's really profound right now. And it's that
question.
You mentioned Haskell, right? For those of you that are joining in right now that aren't super familiar with Jacksonville, Haskell's a monster. It's a design build company with like 100,000 plus employees, an unbelievable name. My wife works there. It's an unbelievable culture. Oh. Yeah. But
in Puerto Rico, they're like 22.
They're everywhere. They're international. Yeah. They're Mexico, Puerto Rico, right? They're everywhere. But the online content game is a place where David can beat Goliath in their own game, right? Like most of these big companies, they have their processes in place. They have their sales forces that are reaching out to people and they're going about it this like legacy way. When you are in a market space, and now this is something that happens to you too, right? Because you've told me that you refer work. And I remember very early on, like somebody hit me up out of Facebook, like, hey man, do you do this? And I was like, no, I don't do this, but Al Nicoletti does. And I just send it over to Al. And it wasn't even something you did, but it was something you could help him with, right? Like,
right.
This idea that via online content, you can produce your own bat signal for the things that you want to do is something that is not exclusive to the big guys. And in fact, you have an advantage as one of the little guys, because you can be making a lot of content and putting a lot of things out there. So I would love to just kind of bounce that back onto Al. Let's start with you, of this idea of people that aren't in your market that you would have never had a chance to connect with that are coming inbound to you via a digital channel. How much is that a part of your experience and what you're doing right now?
Oh, it's huge right now. So here's a great example, like of how important it is to be on Instagram, to be on YouTube, to be on Facebook, to be on all the major channels, to be constantly posting content, right? Because what was going on with the pandemic is we were all inside, right? So when we were there, we were posting all our content. And eventually when all these in-person events went back and we would go speak somewhere and I would be able to say, hey, I have an Instagram. Hey, I have a YouTube, and constantly saying, go check it out. Go check it out. What that would do is people would go check that out. And then when they like that content, their people in their area would see that content and it would just grow from there. So then all of a sudden I'm going to events now where somebody will say, hey, I saw you on Instagram. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are, but that's great, right? Because people are somehow seeing the channel when they like the content or they follow you, all their other friends all of a sudden start seeing it as well. Same thing with the YouTube channel. I was just in Tampa about 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and I went to this little event. There was not a whole lot of people there, but I remember I was networking and one lady said, what do you do? I said, I'm the probate attorney. And she goes, oh, you're Al Nicoletti. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Me. And I was like, where'd you see me? She goes, oh, I see your YouTube videos. And I'm like, I'm in Tampa. I'm not there. Like, The importance of being on all the mediums and also telling people, check me out. Like look what Jesse's doing, right? With Instagram. Come watch me live on Instagram. Come watch me live here. Tell people where you are. And then they will all of a sudden say, hey, have you seen his content? Have you seen Jesse's content? Like, it's amazing. I don't even know how I found Jesse, but I think I'd seen one YouTube video and then all of a sudden we had the podcast. And after, I'm like, this guy's got like 18,000 followers, 20,000 followers. It's incredible what content posting and being on social mediums can do.
Yeah. Jesse, what's your take on that, man? You just kind of mentioned this, right? Like, people are coming inbound from out of state. So background for those of you that are not from Jacksonville, Jacksonville is one of the fastest growing metropolitan areas. So there's all these outside players that are coming in and looking, who do I work with? And I'm assuming that's kind of when you get the call, right, Jesse? Or what? How are people finding you that are not from out of state? Al just kind of referenced it as
So
he's networking and he's leveraging content for follow-up and for outreach. Because when he connects with somebody, they can see it and they can like it and their network sees it. How are people finding you on content?
This is kind of what it is for me. So I have like my personal Instagram, the Jesse Lane TV. I have my personal YouTube, which is Jesse Lane. Then I have like the J-Lane Construction actual website, which has client testimonials, which is how I've always built my business. So there's a difference. The people that follow me on YouTube and Instagram are there to start their own company. And they're not necessarily a J-Lane Construction client, but they are a client potentially of mine because I do consulting. It's a different client. I sell digital goods on jessielaneconsulting.com. Which is like proposal template, estimating spreadsheet, invoicing template, everything that person needs to get started in general contracting. So it's a different type of lead gen, different type of audience. So the people that find me through J-Lane Construction, which you can kind of see here, is 95% of my clients come from Google. I got to Google my business and you set it up and then you can start getting reviews. You know, you put your logo on there, your photos, you can do some posts. But if you get people to review, like I'm the number one rated general contractor on Google in Jacksonville because of the years. And I've been for 6.5 years. I started my business 8 years ago. So really that's the main source. And then people, they know you before they call you, you know? And now on the YouTube note, I have these people sending me these videos, which has been so crazy to see you guys sending me these videos on Instagram. I'm making a 30-year documentary and they're just going, Jesse, you completely changed my life. I stopped working my 9-to-5. I got my LLC. You gave me the courage, the inspiration to start. And it's like, wow. Like it just hits you in the gut, like in the heart. It's like, yes. So this is with love, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's so good.
So I'm hearing a couple of things.
Yeah.
And I want to frame kind of like what we're hearing. I want to hit on a couple more points of where you're at right now. And then I want to go back to the beginning and talk about how you got there. Right. Cause I think it's showing the results is awesome. I'm sure that for Lauren on the call, and Lauren's got a question that we're going to get to in a second. I see my friend from high school, John Gasso, just joined on the call. He's an attorney in Miami and he's drumming up business. I don't think he's very deep in the content game. We'll figure that out in a second. But what I'm hearing from the two of you guys, right? I'm hearing I am networking and I'm using my content as a credibility builder when I walk in the door. And I also a credibility builder after you leave me, right? I meet you. I also have the stuff. I can go hang out. You can go hang out with me online forever and get cooked while I'm not there as if you're hanging out with me. From you, Jesse, I'm hearing you did a conscious effort into Google My Business so that when people are Googling general contractor, they can find you, right? So that's number one, lead acquisition.
Yep.
Then you also have this YouTube channel and Instagram so that once they're like, is this guy legit? They can go spend 10 hours watching your YouTube content and be like, oh yeah, no, he's doing a hotel over here. He's doing an animal clinic over there. That helps. And then the other thing I'm hearing from you, Jesse, is something that I'm kind of obsessed with these days. It's this idea that once you get content going, you can monetize other parts of your business. You're no longer only monetizing your construction services. You're monetizing your templates because you actually have, you know, not just clients that want to do work with you, but people that look up to you because you're like, oh, you're doing all the stuff. I want to do all the stuff. That's proof. I want to pay you $200 for your estimating template. And you're also getting people hiring you for consulting as well, right? So I'm hearing all of those things. Is that kind of accurate? Does the Google My Business actually work to acquire and the YouTube channel work to cook a little bit? Do you hear from the people that you're building projects for? Are most of them saying, oh, I also saw you on YouTube after I Googled you?
It's such a good question because a lot of the clients, no. It's crazy. It's an interesting answer. It's like, it's not like, oh, like, yeah, all my clients know who I am. Not really. They're like, they call, they're like, oh, we just saw all the great reviews. Yeah. I'm like, did you watch any of the client testimonial videos? They're like, oh yeah. Some of them are like, yeah, I watched four or five of them or all of them, or no, I didn't watch those, but I saw them on there, or no, I never even clicked on your website. I just saw you on Google. So there's like this level of, I never went to your website, or I went to your website, then I watched some videos on your website, you know? And then it's like, there's a link to my YouTube channel on the company website. I'm like, check out Jesse Lane's YouTube channel where he inspires young general contractors and entrepreneurs and people. So there's that small little link. So when then people click that, that's like the fourth level of, you know, getting to know you. And then there's like this next level of like, they contacted you, like they're, you know, they already knew who you are. You know, they're like, we're going to do business with this person no matter what, because how could we not? Like we love who he is and we stand behind, you know, things, and he looks like he has experience. And yeah.
Interesting. Al, did I miss anything on your side? Is there any other way that you're kind of like intermeshing this into your already functioning activities or any extra value that you're getting out of it?
You mean with all the social media?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think getting more speaking events, because that all that content just shows credibility, right? And so being out there, like being an authority in your space for a niche is really important, right? So that's a lot of the content that I try pushing out. And by doing that, when you become an authority, it helps getting up on stages. And for me, getting up on stages means getting more clientele and then also getting in front of people more to tell people what I do. But, you know, but I love what Jesse's talking about with using mediums like Google My Business, right? I've noticed that when you use Google My Business and you get more reviews, it does put you to the top. And by doing that, that in itself shows credibility. So I love that component with social media, that they go hand in hand. But I think if you use content the right way and you have an end goal in mind of what you're hoping to do with that content, you'll get there. It'll grow. It just takes time. Everything's organic. Nothing happens overnight. It's not like Facebook sponsored ads where you're immediately going to get business. It's just growth and repetition. And it took about 7 to 8 months after I left before it finally all of a sudden went up in the trajectory when I'm just getting calls all day, all day. So there is a rhythm. It doesn't happen overnight.
You're really getting a lot of calls. Like, you're exploding.
Yo, yeah. It's been exploding. I was out, like, there was a conference I was at, like, for about a week. And during, like, each day, I had about 7 to 8 calls. And then I had to get back to those people. So you got to be diligent about that, too. Can't just market and network and then get phone calls and then don't respond. And that's a big thing, right?
Oof. That was a golden nugget right there. I'm going to have my team clip that and paste that across all my social media channels. So if you could, just give this a pause right now, go into the show notes, and connect with me on whatever platform you like to follow me on, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you want to be a part of my life in, connect with me there. I'm going to share that clip, and you can share it with your friends so that they get the same lesson. It'll be adding value to their life. And while you're at it, go ahead and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Hit 5-star review, right? You don't have to leave a review. You just got to hit 5 stars. If you want to leave a review, cool. And maybe send the episode to your friend. That would be awesome. That's it. I'm done. Back to the show.
Well, when you have a team, that could be different. So if you're the CMO and you're going out there, you're the chief sales guy, chief of sales and CMO, which right now, unfortunately, I am the CEO and I have to be the executive officer about everything. So eventually I'll hire that out to where I can just focus on doing Instagram lives, you know, whatever it is, making YouTube content, everything. TikTok, man.
I want to get into team size, right? Now that when we get into this like tactical development stuff, I want to kick it off the tactical stuff. Lauren Amon has a question. Let's kick off Q&A again. Yeah. If you're with us right now, I'm really appreciative of the fact that you made time in your day to join this call, to join the show. I think the most value you can get is by interacting with people in the comments and asking Q&A here live, because I'm going to repurpose all this stuff and actually advertise your business based on the micro content that we create. And here's how we start. Lauren Amon, who I met at a conference not that long ago, she is a college athlete that is a mindset coach, and she is specializing right now in coaching athletes that are entering the workforce, right? This idea that athletes have always had this innate talent and had coaches around them and have been able to thrive on that. But when they enter the workforce, they're back to square one and they're thinking about all these old accomplishments that they used to have, when really what made them great was the process that they were able to stick to, right? And they need coaches like Lauren in order to figure out that next blueprint and find that process, right? So Lauren, in figuring out her process, she's asking you guys, right? How do you decide right now what information to put out there for your audience? Al, why don't we start with you? Because she actually addressed it to you. And then Jesse, I'll talk to you after that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you, Lauren, for the question. So how did I decide what information? I think it was a matter of knowing what audience I was trying to explain things to. And I'm heavily in the real estate world. So if you're talking to real estate people, they want to hear about real estate. And if you can combine what I do with law and real estate and make it easy and simple for people to digest and understand, you're going to get their attention. So I was able to take the topics I was niching out in, like probate. And I'm obviously, there could be a lot of things in probate. There's a ton of things, but find the things that people can digest. They can get the red flags to issue spot with and make it simple. So I'd find just one thing. I'd break it down and I'd say, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to go on a Saturday. We're going to record. I'm going to do a walk and talk and it's in one whole clip. It's not broken up into different edits, which is crazy on its own. But then I find that, and then we put that out there, make it simple. Doesn't even have to be more than a minute, right? A lot of people have attention span where after a minute, they're looking somewhere else. So I realized that if you make it about a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes at max, it works. And I see Neil just posting about do the probate Macarena. That's another thing with branding, right? Look what that's done. So when people see me now, not only do they see probate, but they think about the probate Macarena. So, Jonah put that out there. I love that. The idea is find things that stick, right? Find trademark moves, find things that you do. There's things that Jesse talks about that sticks with me. I've seen some of his content and I still remember the video where he's picking up the leaves and talking about something. Then he's on the roof and he's talking about something else. And it's not complicated stuff. Just find something you want to talk about, find an audience and speak to them. That's all you have to do.
Jesse, how do you come up with topics?
Yeah, I would say become the thought leader in your niche. So I started with how to estimate a construction project. So I'm a general contractor. So I talk about nothing, you know, just the things that people would be searching on Google is the good thing to take note in your phone of all those different things. Then come back to it when you have time, you know, and make the content. And you don't have to be perfect, you know, but you just want to get content out there. Al, you said something about a minute long, you know, which is interesting. So are you talking about Facebook or Instagram?
Actually talking about all of them, even YouTube.
Because from what I know about YouTube is, and maybe they've changed the algorithm, but the watch time is everything. Like view count is not even as important. It's watch time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know, like, unless that's changed recently in the last year or so, but if I put my most popular videos are 15 minutes plus. So
yeah, this is a really relevant thing. And it's the context to the platform that you're having it on, and different platforms have different kind of incentives, right? And to go back to the original question of how you come up with topics, how you just kind of started crowdsourcing from networking. Jesse, you're on a job site and you're like, well, this is something. You have your Siri app, right? Like I saw the video of you talking on YouTube about like, hey, one of the tips is like, I just sit home at night and I tell Siri, hey Siri, make a piece of content about this, right? So you keep a running list on your phone. And it really, I would love to just bring that idea back to, it's experiential, right? Like I think that most people, and this is the beauty of content. And I just had an onboarding call for a show that we produce. Most people think that the thing that they most know about and that they think about every single day is very ordinary because you're so used to it. And this happened to me when I was in the green building construction world. I would have the same conversation in every meeting for like 7 years. And I was really bored of the conversation. But what you don't realize is that the people that you're talking to, it may be the first time that they hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. And while Jesse, you have completely licked the idea that, you know, when you get to a job site, you know a couple of things to look out for immediately to know whether or not it's going to be a pain in the butt to get a dump truck in there. Mm-hmm. A one-year-old contractor hasn't done that 1,000 times like you have. Yeah. Al, you know that when somebody passes, if they don't have certain things written and it's really basic to you, it's going to be a real knockdown, drag out fight. And therefore, you can give real estate investors the idea that, listen, look for this in legal documents and in title searches and whatever. And that's very simple to you, but it's extraordinary to some people, right? Like one of the best rated speaking points that I've put out for networking is something that I think is stupid, right? Like the idea that when you're in a line, introduce yourself to someone and there's a line at every networking event is something that many, many people have been like, oh my God, I never thought about that, right? Like I never thought that when I'm at a registration line, I should just turn around and say hi to the person behind me. And I'm like, really? Because I've been doing this my whole life, right?
Yeah.
So there is gold in in your unique perspective on how you've seen things. And even the thing that you realized 10 years ago, for somebody that isn't 10 years on that journey, their specialty, right? That's one. Two, Al, you brought up something very, very relevant to this too, which is, if you know who you're trying to talk to, if you get in conversations with the people that you're talking to on content, it produces things to talk about. You want to kind of like tell us how you got to that realization?
I think I got there because I realized that so many people aren't doing like the video content out there. There's some people that are doing it, but I realized that I wasn't trying to pitch my service. I was just trying to pitch knowledge. And I think when you pitch knowledge, people are attracted to that and actually want to watch that content. So I said, you know what? Let me give this a shot. I'm going to do like 38 videos. I sat at the former law firm like on a Saturday and I put the camera on a couple books. And behind me were the books for the law books. And I just sat there. I did like 38 videos. And I said, you know what? I need to be in front of that camera. I think the first time I had done that was Malachi. He came over and he like did the video stuff. And we just made those videos and I started posting it. I wanted to see the reaction. And what it was is people love that information. You're not there to sell them on who you are. You're there to help them understand what is out in the world. And by that role and that, people were like, whoa, this is different. That was what made me go, wait a second, I need to do something different. I had people telling me, hey man, you don't need to wear the tie and the jacket. Just make it look cool. Am I wearing the tie and the jacket right now? No, because I've also listened to my audience. I've listened to people that have given me feedback. And I've heard some people say, hey, you should do some like cool shots. Like you don't always have to be in the office with the books. So that's why I'm doing things out and about. So it's more about getting out there and finding that thing that people are going to be interested in. Also, Pablo, let me just say this before we go off track about that networking thing. Mm-hmm. So something I've realized and it's something that you, me, Jesse, and people that know how to work rooms really should expand on. And that is when you're going somewhere for the first time networking, I forgot what that's like, because when you're in a room, we know a lot of people in that room, but for people that don't know who those people are, it's nerve-wracking. And so it's important for us as community leaders to actually make sure you start networking with people that you don't necessarily know, the ones that you just see standing there twirling with their heads. Because I just went to an event and I went there, I didn't know anybody in there. And I made it an effort to work the room, but I felt like that for a little while. So when I was there, I was like, wait a second, I need to do a better job as a leader here, helping people with that networking. So if you're out there and you have those struggles, don't feel afraid to contact us about those kinds of things, because we know.
I love it, Al. As a guy that considers himself a networking Sherpa, I agree. That person that's in the room alone and looking for a friend, that's the best person to introduce yourself to, because you immediately added value to their life. Jesse, you look like you were about to say something.
Dude, I like different thoughts. So that's just another thought. On the YouTube thing, I had a call from my employee today, and his name's Gavin, and he started working for me like 3 weeks ago. And he actually found me because in FSCJ, in our local Jacksonville college, they're using my YouTube videos as course curriculum. This teacher is showing her college students, like, you guys need to watch Jesse Lane. Like, you need to watch this guy do his content, his business building, you know, learn from how to estimate what it's really like behind the scenes as a general contractor. And so going to Al's point at public speaking, Gavin called me today. He goes, I saw she's asking him, because he didn't tell his classmates that he's working for me because he didn't want everyone to ask to work for me or whatever it was. And so she was kind of like, are you working for Jesse? Like Jay Lane, this is Jay Lane Construction, because on some paperwork or whatever, she saw it. She's like, the Jesse Lane. I'm like, he said that today. I'm like, no, it's not like that at all. But she can call me if she wants. But then she asked me to speak to her college students. So, and I did that before and I met some people, and one of them wound up working with me for like 3 years. But yeah, that's a different type of public speaking. But it's also just getting out there, you know, like meeting people, like all those college students, maybe they could work for me one day. Or like right now I'm talking about partnering with him. He's 18 on a real estate flip. Like,
yeah, so. it's not just lead generation for business. It's lead generation for talent. Lead generation for speaking opportunities. It's lead generation for partnership opportunities. Yeah, yeah, Al, yeah. On this speaking point, this is how it started with me and you. We were sitting there at Honeycomb or whatever that place is called. And you're like, you know what, man? Like, I've been killing it with networking. I got this email campaign going. What I really want to do is get on more stages. Cause like when I public speak, that's when I know people buy in. And I'm like, Al, your next step is going to realize it's going to be to understand that when people see you doing content, they invite you to public speak more and there is no differentiation with it. Right.
And at the time I was like, eh, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen. And then fast forward, like only like 10 months, it's like 40 episodes, like that. 15 yeah. videos. And that's yeah. what's helped, right? Like, I agree with Jesse. It's like this content, they go hand in hand, right? It shows you're an authority. They want you on. And we want to hear people like Jesse. I love being on stage because it's inspiring to hear people's stories and also telling people what you do. You don't know who you're going to be speaking to and whose heart you'll hit when you're talking to them. It's amazing what you can do with all this content.
It's
Crazy. Yeah, I love that. All right. So we talked a little bit. Let's hit on origin, right? Like just how I'm intimately familiar with your origin story. And it was, you know, we had that conversation. You didn't believe me. Then COVID hits. You see me going live. I have you on my podcast. I distribute the content. You're like, this is amazing. How do I do it? 10 months later, you built out a studio in your apartment. Jesse, when did you, you know, tell us how you decided to get started on it? Because it's not a typical contractor move. Tell us how you decided to get started on content. And then tell us kind of like how you started and when you started seeing a benefit from it. What was the first like telltale sign that you're like, oh, this might work for business?
So first of all, I was very young when I was born. And that's one of my main jokes. But when I was born, I was on camera. And ever since I was a kid, I was like on camera and I was asking my mom, let me hold the camera, like making movies. And then I became a teenager and we're skateboarding. And so I'm holding the camera, filming that, snowboarding, skateboarding. And then I'm in Texas and I'm filming me getting bucked off of horses and training those. And then I'm in Florida now. If you know a little bit of my life story, which you'll see my 30-year documentary when it comes out on YouTube, Jesse Lang. But I started filming guitar lessons actually because I was like, oh, I love guitar and I like to teach. And so I want to make videos because I love making videos. I just need something to make videos about. And then that now, Pablo, you saw my Instagram story today, has like almost 2 million views on that, which is like all these different tutorials for different songs and just like tips and tricks. Anyways, I did little skits. I had like all kinds of stuff. I was kind of exploring the gamut on that channel, you know, making little funny videos with friends and also the guitar lessons. But then I started my main channel, which I'm about to hit 1 million views on, which is just Jesse Lang. And I got 12 views sometimes, which, you know, under 100 views, some, you know, for many, many, many months of this new channel, you know, because it was a different audience. It's like, that's a whole nother audience. Those couple million views had nothing to do with entrepreneurship, general contracting. So even to this day, I still push through the under 1,000 views videos or something where it's like, why did I get 1,200 views? I mean, some videos I might have 175,000 or 150,000, 100,000, 80,000 on my stories. And, you know, but those are my most popular. The most uploaded videos or the most recent uploaded videos are a lot of times 1,000 views or 500 views if it doesn't do well, you know? And so, but a year ago or 2 years, it wasn't even that, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like these guys like Graham Stephan and Grant Cardone and Dan Locke and, you know, Ryan Serhant. It's just like, I watched them go from zero to 1 million subscribers in 9 months when they start, you know, it's like, I've been doing this a decade. You know, I literally started my first channel in 2006. That was the guitar channel. And I started doing the guitar lessons after I deleted all the skateboarding stuff.
Oh, so that really is you. When you sent that screenshot of just like, oh, I also have a guitar lesson thing. I thought you were kidding.
Oh, no. Yeah. That was me. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a whole other YouTube channel before this.
Okay. So you had experience in YouTube growth, and then you decided to turn around and flip this and aim it on the business. You acquired some skills already ahead of time. I imagine for a while you're a team of one. What is your
100%? Yeah, that's a great. So the team question is me editing, me producing, me writing, me filming, me script, you know, I mean, learning the guitar song at first, but even the Jesse Lang YouTube channel, team of one for many, many, because I enjoy editing. And at this point, maybe about a bunch of months ago, I hired an editor, but then he went to college. And then now I have the guys come with their $50,000 red camera, their business video solutions. It's like, I won't disclose the price per month, monthly contract. And they're going to be, we filmed our first video 2 days ago. So it's really exciting. I'm going to do about 3 to 5 videos a month with them. We'll start 3 is the minimum. And I'll just go to different job sites and I'll go to my Riverbank apartments, which you probably want to know about some of them people, the 10 unit building that I purchased, update on that. And just all kinds of different videos about everything, tips, tricks, content, projects.
All right, man. So I was just looking at the Facebook comments and I got a little bit distracted. Did you just tell me that you are either Are you starting to produce videos for other contractors? Or are you saying that you're putting people on your team on camera now to then leverage the content production?
I don't understand the first part of that. Other contractors? No, just myself. But
no, right now you said something about like you went to a job center, you're putting these other guys on camera. Who are you putting on camera?
Oh, yeah, my employees. Like,
okay. All right. Yeah. So now that's a leverage point, right? You create the channel. Yeah. First, you're the star. Now you can kingmake. You can be the star. You can make other people a star.
Right. Well,
it's which is added value for people that come to work for you.
Like Tommy, my superintendent yesterday was a supporting role. And I'm like, blah, 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 do the three quarters of it. I'm like, and then I go back to what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, that's powerful, man. That's powerful. Yeah. In a world where you're recruiting for talent, you know, like I remember Whitney Ritchie asked me about something about 2 years ago. And she was telling me something along the lines of like, man, if I'm going to do some content, should I be putting my employees on there? And I was basically telling her, I was like, listen, man, the first employee that leaves your company because you made him a star, you're going to get every other one of the best employees in the insurance industry wanting to work for you. Right. So it's better to be a kingmaker than to just try to be king all the time. Right. Like it's something I've always said.
I have a question. Oh, okay. I had a question for someone that's really good.
Go, you know, dude.
Okay. So Narvaeza 7, do you have a strategy or a system to close deals after the customer calls from Google? I'd actually like to hear Al's opinion first. Al's process.
And closing the problem. Who asked the question, Jesse? Give him a shout out.
Yeah, Narvaeza 7.
Narvaeza 7. All right, on Instagram. Shout out to Narvaeza.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of telling people just how you do your business, right? So if you get a call from Google or you get a call from a referral, because a lot of my business is a lot of referrals because people have seen the content, they've heard about me, built the presence in the community. So if they call, you know, how do you land it? It's just tell the people straight up what your structure is, what you're there to do for them. Also what you don't do for them, because if you're there to help them with that construction site or that probate, you're not there for every single thing. So just tell them straight up what the structure is, what the price is, and give them a realistic expectation of timing, right? Because in our business, it's about timing and money, and people want to know that. It's not so much about the job that you're doing, but when is it going to be done, and when can they make payment and knock it out, right? That's the idea. Just tell them, and set expectations up front.
Dude, what's your answer to that, Jesse?
For me, it starts with the website, right? So people come on the website and they watch a few videos. We talked about that earlier. They get to know me. Then they want to contact. So what do? I built a button that is repeating all across my website and every page called Become a Client. So the Become a Client button goes to the Become a Client page on jlaneconstruction.com/Become a Client or whatever. And then that goes to the Squarespace form, comes to me ultimately. I can always forward these forms. Like I do my payroll that way. I do a lot of things through Squarespace forms. Goes straight to the payroll company. All the employees add their hours, stuff like that. Anyways, so the form comes to me. Then I have a Gmail bullet point template that goes, hey, and I don't have it in front of me, but it goes through everything. Like this is the process. This is what I want to talk to you about. Click schedule a call in my email signature. So I set up schedule a call as a Calendly link, and they schedule their own call. And I already have all their information. The form asks, what's your budget? What type of project do you have? Residential, commercial, industrial, multifamily? And then I will qualify them on that first call. That is the point of the first call. You don't want to waste your time with this person who has a $20,000 budget for an $85,000-$100,000 job, et cetera. So the point, and you tell them in that bullet point email, say, I'm going to be asking you if you're okay with it. We're going to talk about money. You know, money can be uncomfortable to talk about, but it's important. It's actually the most important thing. If you know your numbers, you know, especially on that first call. So I say a square foot price, rough ballpark. I'm just kind of, and I'm even working on a spreadsheet right now that dials down all my numbers from the past into a spreadsheet that will give a simple, intermediate, or advanced level of a budget according to the info that they tell me. Level of complexity. I can get into that later, but not important. Long story short is qualification. Make sure they have the money and then spend your time. Give them everything you got. Then you have more of your emotion to give to your actual clients, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's an important thing once you get down the line. Once you start growing an audience and you start getting inbound attention, this is something I had to go through also, right? Like in early March, I had my calendar was booked out for 2 months, and I, you know, I had three clients like that had verbally accepted something, and then they all fell apart. And I thought to myself, I looked at my calendar. I'm like, none of these people are actually going to do business with me. So once you start growing this audience, once you start having this inbound attention, I think it's really important to move into a sales disqualification kind of like cadence on your first call. And it's really understanding who you're going to end up doing business with, because you're going to treat them a certain way and give them a certain amount of attention. And then you have another bucket for, yes, I also want to help out. I also want to give you advice. But if you're not nurturing the stuff that you need to eat and the stuff that you need to get done, you're going to spread yourself too thin across the whole bucket. And you're going to be taking a bunch of calls with people that you won't do business with. And then you're not going to be really in it to help them. And, you know, it doesn't really serve you either. And I'm a guy that wants to be best friends with everybody. So like, you know, and I say that, right? Al, it looked like you were going to say something about that.
Yeah, no, Jesse's right about the practice and your business. Like for me, in the beginning, it's what you call door law, right? Like when you first come out of law school, it's anything that comes in the door, you're just kind of looking at and taking on. But after a while, you realize you don't want to do everything. And because you don't want to do everything, when people call about those certain things, you realize, well, wait a second, I know there's somebody that would fit for what you're looking for. I'm just not going to be that fit because I know what's going to make me money. I know the systems, the automation, and what's going to monetize my business. And that part about what they're calling about isn't. So I'm able to delegate that out. And that was what the beauty of the pandemic was for me, was I knew that all those evictions that were coming in, it wasn't what I wanted to do. And so as more came in, I said, no, I didn't want to do it. And I niched my practice in that probate realm. And because I did that, when people would call, we got straight into it. I knew what I wanted to do. I told them what I did. I told them what the price was. And like Jesse says, sometimes talking about money can be uncomfortable. For me, actually, I make it comfortable. I'm like, no, this is what it's going to be. It could be this, it could be that. And you just got to tell them and niche your practice, right? Everybody tries to do everything and they throw a bunch of things at the wall. Niche on what you're going to do. If you're going to be in luxury, do luxury. If you're going to be in construction, like Jesse, be in construction, that whole realm. Find that niche, and then you know the business that you're in. People love experts. A lot of people don't think that, but people think they have to do everything. People love experts. People like authority, and they like going to that instead.
We got my Cuban cousin, Bobby Espin, who's a realtor down in Miami. He's got a really good question here. First of all, he put on Facebook, all you guys 100% authentic and passionate and compassionate. Oh, and brave. It takes guts to get in front of the camera. And then here, you're nodding your head. This is his question, right? Like he's in the chat right now. He says, any tips from you or your guests, Pablo, on how to overcome fear or anxiety of getting in front of cameras, and any ideas or thoughts to practice? Who wants to go first on that one?
I'll go first on this. So I think it's being in front of the camera more and recording yourself, but it's not just being in front of the camera and doing that. I think you got to post it. I think that is the next level of getting outside your element and getting over the fear is what other people think. Who cares? Just do it. Get out there. People want to hear what you have to say. So just be in front of the camera and post it. And I think that's what helped me, right? Like I was speaking in front of people, it's going to networking events. Pablo knows this. And then all of a sudden you speak in front of a camera, it's a completely different element. And I think that's where you learn your camera personality about how you are. Because if you can speak in front of a camera and like you can speak in front of a person, you got it. So the other part, which is crazy, is going live. I think there's something else and raw and authentic about going live, and it makes you get on your feet and figure out what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. And people love seeing that raw footage. So you get in front of people and tell them, just do what it is, you know, just make it happen.
Jesse, any take on that?
I still struggle with that. Like even like going live, I was like, oh, I just, you know, feel a little bit of a flutter, you know? Mm-hmm. And like when I first walked up to the UNF, like stage in front of like 42 college, like seniors, that was like, I was seeing them walk in the room, like right past me. I'm like, oh my gosh, like these are like a lot of people, you know? So I was kind of like, had to get over that within myself. But I think you just have to realize it's not about you. It's about the people you're serving. And I think that is like the big point that I come into myself and then start looking outwards versus looking inwards, you know? Mm-hmm. And just say, how can I help these people versus it all being about me and getting nervous?
That's interesting because that's the same exact advice I give on networking, right? Like if you think about how can you serve, how can you go find somebody that was having an awkward situation and give them, you know, give them a conversation and that helps you get over it. Bobby, I would, you know, so two things that I'm hearing from Jesse is that, right? Like service mentality and feeling like you're not going over there to pitch something, but just like, I'm just out here to not tell you how to live your life, but to tell you something that's worked for me in the past. And maybe this helps you, right? Like get into that mentality. Al, posting and going live, huge. Bobby, I would tell you that the one of the biggest values that you get from content is feedback. And there is two sources of feedback. One, yourself. Two, the audience. So if you go live on Facebook and you let it fly, right, you get to then watch it and it gets to be posted because it's live already. So you're over that, I'm going to use a Cubanism, a chollo mental, right? Like you're over that, like the mental hurdle that, you know, do I post this? Do I not post this? You already had it live. So let it fly, right? Then you get to watch it. And then you get to watch if people react to it or not. So there's these guys that I work with that I'm a really big fan of called the Biz Bros, two brothers named Luis. They talk about this concept of minimum viable content. And the minimum viable content is what is the least work you can do to actually post something online. And that Facebook Live exercise is huge. They talk about going 45 live. You do that 45 days in a row and you're going to, number one, build reps at just like getting over it, right? Two, you're going to get a bunch of feedback from like looking at yourself and people, and maybe three of those post a bunch of interaction and it really resonates. Now you're onto something, right? Four, you're going to hit a rhythm of just like, oh, wait a minute. I can actually talk for 6 minutes whenever I want about anything I want. That's easy. And what I would also advise to get over the first hurdle, right, is that there's a lot of factors involved in speaking in front of a camera. One is just, this is not comfortable, right? Like you feel douchey. So that you only get over that by doing it. But what these guys both talked about, the idea of people watching you do it feels really weird, right? So maybe start just, and so one of the big keys for me is if you have a place that you can sit down at and you're not thinking what's in my background, what's blah, blah, blah. If you designate a content creation place, that takes away all these variables already. If you got like a seat that you can sit down at that you're like, I know that this is going to look cool and I don't have to care about all this other stuff. Find that spot in your house, find that nook in your house where you can sit on a chair and go live that erases all the other variables of environment. So you don't overthink that anymore. Love and that. Then it's just practice of going live, right? Like just like go live, talk about something, be vulnerable, vulnerability connects. So be like, this is weird for me. I'm doing this to practice my skills. I would love some feedback and here's some advice. You know, all of those things plus the repetition will really, really help you. So minimize variables, maximize reps, and minimum viable content. Make sure you post it so that you can give yourself feedback and so that other people give you feedback. Everything else is just qualitative.
Dude, that is such good stuff, man. So good. I'm about to make a podcast studio in the back of my office here. Can I answer
yeah,
a question?
Yeah, yeah, go. Yeah.
So Leonidas, I think you say it. What do you tell a client if you decide that they're not qualified? Would you refer them to other GCs? Would you refer someone to another lawyer?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
So
if there's something that comes through the phone, right? Like maybe it's a construction case, right? Somebody, kind of defect, right? I'm not taking on that type of litigation. But when we network, we make connections with other people that do that kind of work. And so we immediately think, hey, this person does this. We'll refer it out there. And what that does is they think of you as soon as something comes up, great. They'll send it back. So yeah, you have to be able to know the things you don't do, right? That's the disqualification. The things you don't want to take on and you're in your business, it's not monetizing things for you. You know that, look, it's not going to be the thing I want to do. So here, I'm going to make sure I'm going to put you in the right hands. And this is the person I want to put you with.
I like that. That's good. One more question for you.
Well, Jesse, what's your take on that? Let's go round robin.
I suck at it. A lot of the people that I don't want to do, all these residential people call me like all the time. It's a constant cycle. I can't get back to all of them. So I try to like sit there at night sometimes. And I'm like going through like these template emails, just like copying and pasting their emails in bulk. You know, just like, sorry, we can't take your project. Like, we're just too busy right now. And this and that and the other thing.
That's one of the things that started our conversation, Jesse. When you told me you were turning down that much work, we're like, if you're turning down that much work, this could turn into a potential other revenue stream for you, right? Like whether you, and we talked through it, right? Like we talked through the idea of you pre-qualifying a bunch of contractors that then can then subscribe to being part of your referral list, you creating these kind of like certification programs that you can charge that if you're a Jesse Lane certified contractor, then I will give you work, right? Like it, the idea of being able to refer work is a luxury, right? So for me, my service is expensive, man. Like I charge $7,500 to $11,000 a month, right? So like, I know I can only work with a certain amount of people, but I know that when people come to me, some people just want content repurposing. Some people just want, you know, some kind of advice here and there. Some people just want a podcast. They don't want a live show. They don't want the, you know, the interaction. The reason why we do this interaction is because of exactly what we're doing right now. The ability to, number one, make content with you guys that we're going to repurpose. Number two, grow a relationship with the folks that have been here, with Lauren, with Sean, with Bobby, with John, you know, like the people that shown up with us, that they're building a relationship with Leonidas, with Narvaza, you know, like we are growing a special relationship with them. And then we repurpose the content and send it out to grow a relationship one to many out in the ecosystem that's frictionless, but not everybody wants that, right? So yes, that the answer to King Leonidas is the idea that if you can get to the point where you can refer work, now you have an even better problem to think about. You have this chip in your back pocket of value you can add to people that can then lead to revenue, or it can just lead to somebody owing you a favor, or it can just add to you growing your brand beyond the people that already know you.
I've even thought about creating a whole own just like residential side. I actually had a friend, I haven't seen him for 15 years. He's from Pennsylvania. My childhood friend, he just came and filmed him for my documentary. His name was Lawrence, but he's actually considering moving down here from Massachusetts just to work for me. And like his whole family, like everybody would just move. So, and he's a residential guy. So I'm like, I've already got his email signature set up and everything. Like I'm not like, you know, like maybe like just like a whole own like residential thing. But I want to answer some of these questions. One of them is, do you charge for pre-plan? This is Amari Kadima. Or do you require a signed contract before? So Al's a lawyer, for those of you just joining. I don't know if like you have any, your process is different than mine as a general contractor, you know? So I have like a process, like, do you have drawings? Or no, if you don't, you need a design build. Here's our design build process. So it's kind of like a little tree of like qualifying a client, charging for drawings. Yes, I charge for like a space plan. $1,500 But for you, like, what is it?
Yeah, I'll say, so it's really a different process, right? I do need to get into what you're doing with all the forms and like all that stuff, because that's great, right? You get so much intake, those forms, you're like, hey, fill this out. It goes to this department. That's wonderful. Like I'm there, like I'm getting there right now. But what happens is intake comes first, right? Got to hear what's going on. Is it a case I want to take on? If it's not, I can refer it out. If it is, what's kind of involved? Are we dealing with something simple? Everybody's in agreement? Or are we dealing with something that's going to be on a higher level where there's going to be multiple probates or multiple issues with the property, right? So we got to figure out, is it simple? Is it more complicated? And that's where I figure out the price point for each. And then from there, before we even get involved in it, I need to get them signed up through a retainer, right? So I get them signed up before I do any of the work. One of my big sells and my strong points is the fact that I can wait until the end to get paid if there's a sale or there's assets in an estate. So that's one of the things that I talk to the clients about. I'm like, look, if you sign up, know that if we can wait until the end to get paid, and this is how we're going to structure it, boom. So they sign up, we get all the information we need and get all the forms filled out. We're able to file everything, move things forward, and get it done. And by the act of that process, people love that. They're gravitated to it, Jesse. So intake, filling out, not knowing or knowing what you don't want to do, getting that referred out, and then finding that price point and just telling people. And that's a system for me right now. But I do want to get into that. Hey, you're interested? Okay, here's a form. fill it out. Let's see what's going on. If it's something that we can get all at once, great. We'll pump it out to the team, get it drafted. If it's something we need a further intake on, like a further Zoom call, let's hop on a Zoom call. Here's my availability. It, more systems based. And
I would say people don't be afraid to build those systems because how it's, don't be afraid of how complex it might be. Like we're talking about it. And maybe you haven't done it yet, but it's Squarespace. It's simple. It's, if you just spend the time, you click and drag, click a new form and you add what, it's just all about what you want it to be. So it's like, it's easy to do. You know, if you can like use a Word document, you can build a whole website on Squarespace or Wix or whatever.
And Jesse, to land this, so to land this into the content creation sphere of what we're talking about, this idea of do you charge for advice or not? And at the end of the day, I think everybody's going to say something along the lines of, yes, I charge for advice because I have that product, or no, I don't charge for advice, but I am doing that as a way to like prove to a client that whatever, or no, I just don't give free advice. I like to land it somewhere in the middle in the sense that if I know that somebody needs my advice and I can record the conversation of me giving them advice and turn that into a piece of content that now looks like thought leadership content, now looks like expert advice content, then it's a value aggregation to my business and to their life and to my audience, right? So one of the things I love about talking about content creation for you, Al, for you, Jesse, for me, is this idea that you get more value out of all the things that you have to do anyways when you are recording what you do and you have a distribution process that distributes it, right? Like it's like this receptacle that catches all these crumbs and makes it into a BLT later, right? So I'm just very much into that idea. And it's that for you, man, like, you know, you're documenting, you've talked about this idea that you're now not just monetizing your channel, you're also acquiring talent. You just talked about a buddy of yours that's willing to move his whole family. I bet you his conversation with his wife about we should all move to Florida and work for Jesse Lane is a lot easier because she can show his wife, look at Jesse Lane's YouTube video. This guy can't lose.
That's it. Right? That's so key, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, to me, it's just, if you think about content creation beyond just, if I'm going to get on a video, am I going to get a client? And you just think about this as like, man, content is the kerosene I can add to everything that I'm doing because it can add more value to every single process. You're really unlocking something.
Dude, we just got to back up, man. Like content is the kerosene behind everything I'm doing in life. That is like, that's gold right there, man.
Jesse, let me ask you something. So about this family that's basically, they're moving to Florida to work for you. Like what's going through your mind about that responsibility that wow, like people are actually coming to my business, working for my business, but now I hold that responsibility to make sure we keep moving forward. Like how do you in your mind just keep pressing forward and keep doing it? And so you can get more and more talent.
That's a fantastic question. There's always a doubt, not a doubt, but a fear. There's a fear in my mind of, well, what if? The fear of the what if I can't get a new client or whatever. It's everything in life is a risk. My best friend just started working for me a couple months ago. He's a physical therapist assistant. We did a podcast on my YouTube channel. His name is Mark. So I've had family and friends work for me as well for years before. And even just when I was 22 and I just got my license, I was walking onto the job sites and I'm saying, whoa, like there's 56-year-old guys here. I'm responsible for putting food on their table, like all these different guys. I've kind of experienced that from a young buck age of early 20s going into, I'm about to be 30 on December 18th. And it's become a little bit more second nature.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's more responsibility, you know, you got to keep pressing forward. And it's inspiring to see that you have, you know, your friends and people you've networked with for years come work for you and you're blowing it up. So it's incredible.
Yeah. I got to say that as an incentive is huge for me, man. I'm very relationship driven. So like, I'm yet at the point of like somebody working for me that I've known from before and betting their future on me. The fact that I have a team of 12 that's betting their future on me really, really motivates me, man. Like this idea of people are putting food on the table and making future plans around how talented I am and how much I can deliver on that talent is something that's really an honor that I find bestowed on me. And it motivates me more than just about anything else that has ever motivated me, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
And guys, I would like to, you know, I would like to kind of honor the folks that are here with us on Zoom and put a bow on the conversation around content creation. And then Jesse, we can stay on and answer every question that you have on Instagram. Okay. That'd be cool. Cause I feel like it kind of, that stuff kind of leans more towards entrepreneurship and contractor stuff. And I'm into it, right? Like we can make more content around it, but I want to ask two more things in order to kind of like put a bow on our friend that has joined us here in Zoom, you know, Bobby, Nate, Sean, Esar is hanging out with us. Adam, I love you, bro. Just for the record, I haven't talked to you in a while, man, but I miss you, dude.
Love so, Adam.
Adam's Adam. The best.
Love Adam.
Yeah. So if, you know, we've all arrived at content from different perspectives, right? Al, you were kind of like questioning it at first and you've totally bought into it. Jesse, you liked making content and you've incorporated it into your life and now you're having success with it.
Right.
If you were going to start making content from zero right now, you had never done it before, but you've learned everything that you've learned now in the past. Mm-hmm. How would you start right now? What would be your beginning move to get this thing going?
I would go all in, just like I am right now. I would just put money and time and effort and thought and notes and effort and everything else. I would just go all in.
Well, so be more specific. You have a certain amount of time in your day. You got to deliver your, we talked about this. You can't do the shit if your product sucks.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
How much, tell me how you would divide your time and what all in would look like if you were just getting going and start. Like, it sounds like you'd put as much resources as you could into it, but what would it look like for you right now? As a $15 million company, you're the CEO and you're just getting started right now. How would you invest your time and your money into it?
No, it's a good question. I mean, I would hire a film crew because I had money, you know, now that I'm the older version of myself, and film as much as possible. You know, even if I just had started, I would still just start pumping content with YouTube, get Instagram up and going, make some reels, you know, show. That's kind of what I'm doing these days. I'm trying to like, just starting really on Instagram, trying to build Instagram now, you know, with reels and different stuff. Now I'm doing the live thing over here. And so, yeah, that's what I would do.
Cool. How about you, Al?
So, I mean, I would make sure that we have all the channels, right? You have Instagram, YouTube, you have all the platforms all set and ready to go. And I would take advantage, if you don't have like cameras and you don't have the ability to like get a videographer, get it like a video crew. I mean, I just start going live on Instagram and Facebook, right? Like that's a frugal way to just start, right? Because you can go live, you can get your audience through there. Also making sure you have your logo set up, your website, your image, your branding all set up, that which is really important. But making content and finding the thing you want to talk about, right? You don't have to talk about everything. Find the thing that you are looking to share your knowledge with and just tell people about it. And you'll have an audience based on that and you'll grow from there. So starting from scratch and even having my own podcast, which has been fantastic, and making sure it's consistent. But the key, you know, everybody talks about this. And at first I'm like, yeah. They'll say, you know, consistency is the key to your success with the social media. But it's true, right? If you're constantly posting things, if you're constantly putting stories out there and doing videos, and like I'll make 8 videos in one day and just post that over 8 weeks, doesn't matter when you do it, right? There's strategies to everything. Just start doing it. Just go, get out of your element. Just start posting. Who cares if your heart is pumping like crazy? Just do it and roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, my answer to that question is twofold. Number one, Al, you know everything I believe in, right? It's all relationship-driven growth. So it's, you don't have to think about what you're going to talk about if you just think about who you want to talk to. And if you start making content with those people, you have a stream of content that you can create. And yes, consistency is key, but starting is more important. So like I started my podcast, I released 7 episodes and then I didn't release another episode for 2 months. Then I released like 3 episodes, then I didn't release anything for 3 months. And now I'm 160 episodes deep and I release 1 to 2 a week, right? Awesome. So, you know, like you got to start somewhere and get going. And a really, really easy starting point is what I just said. Figure out who you want to know and go make content with them. Think about content as your new golf. Right? Like this is the way that you create relationships. Yes. And on a very micro level, when I was out networking pre-COVID, I would talk to somebody interesting, like an Al, like a Jesse, and be like, oh my God, shut up a second. Pull out my phone and be like, Al, you just told me that you're the prince of probate. What the does that mean? And then I'll let Al talk about it. And then I'd post it on my social media feed, tagging Al. And all of a sudden, all of Al's friends that think he's the prince of probate are like, oh, Al's on TV again. Let me check it out. Oh, who's this dude talking to him? And I would start getting followers. That works particularly well on LinkedIn right now. So, you know, something to think about. A really, really low friction way of doing it is you're going to take a Zoom call with somebody interesting, record the call, share it, or even you're on a call with someone. They said something interesting, be like, oh my God, can we just talk about that real quick? Let me record it. Nice. Hit record, that's ask genius. Him about it, stop the recording afterwards, and then go post it on your LinkedIn and your Facebook. To me, that's the lowest friction way.
These tactful tips, like you have, like, you're so... I never would have thought of that. That's amazing. You know,
well, it's like, Jesse, I don't know if you know this, but this is what I do.
This is what you do. Yeah. Connect with Pablo on Instagram.
So, okay. So that's how we get started. I would love to also ask you fellas what's next and how do our friend that just listened to you for an hour and 50 minutes and their ear on their podcast and thinks that you guys are the coolest, where to connect with you. So, what's next? Jesse, I know you're working on a freaking documentary. I want to know about that. So what's next for you and how do people connect with you?
Me? Yeah. So the 30-year documentary, not going to talk about it because it's like, keep it short, but it's really exciting. My whole life story, you'll see. Yeah. Just YouTube and Instagram. Instagram is Jesse Lane TV. And then YouTube is just Jesse Lane, J-E-S-S-E, no I. L-A-N-E, like a street. L-A-N-E.
Well, you know, before you try to keep it too short, what's the plan for this documentary, man? Like, why are you going this big?
Dude, like I decided, like I'm going to spend like $15,000 on this thing. I'm going to make it about what is the point, the purpose behind the documentary is to show my story and hopefully unveil in other people's hearts and lives how they can find the passion in their life and tap into this light beam of everyone has a light beam. And when you tie in, when you tap in to this passion, it just takes you with it because you want to be up late working. You know what I mean? You want to be doing everything, all the systems. And it's like, that is golf. Like you said, it's like content. Making content is like playing golf. You know, it's just like, yeah. So
is your light beam making content? What's your light beam, man?
No, my light beam is construction and real estate and business and making content around those things.
Love it, man. Love it. Al, what's next for you, buddy? You just built out a freaking studio in your apartment that you don't even own. I'm just going to throw it out there. You're renting and you had like a, I would assume like a 6 to 10K build out for a studio. What's next for you, bro?
Yeah, I was careful when some of the maintenance people came in. It's like, you know, don't worry, this all can come off. We can paint over this. You know, the studio's been great. You know, of course, making it something in person is probably next on my radar. Having that kind of equipment for an in-person studio is going to be great because there's nothing like being in person. But more speaking events, being in front of more audiences, not just in Jacksonville, but in the Panhandle, in Orlando, in Tampa, just going around the state and just speaking the message and getting in front of more people, which being in front of more people and telling people where your content is gets more people to subscribe and gets the medium out there. So a lot of that, and of course, more videos, more content, different videos, more attractive things that I'm thinking about that I have in my head that are just going to be bang, flash and bangers, which I don't think realize that it'll be like, whoa, but also, you know, doing even more videos and content on promos before I speak. That's like next level stuff, right? Because what we're doing to us, I don't know how you both feel, but what we're doing, we're always like, man, we're not doing enough. Right? Like, you know, even being here, we're not doing enough. We got to get to that next level. And that's like where I see Jesse when we're at poker night. He's like, yeah, I'm doing this, but I want to get here. I want to get higher and higher. And I love that thinking because when we're doing that, we're going to higher levels and we're not just influencers, but we're impactors and we're impacting what people are doing, right? And how they're doing their business. And I love that because it's amazing. So next step, next level is speaking more content, doing stuff and just don't stop. Floor it. Keep it going.
I love it, man. The content monster has an insatiable appetite.
You know it.
All right. Listen, Jesse, I want to get into the I want to get into your questions right now. I'm just going to go ahead and thank, you know, we had like 10 people on most of the time. We still got 5 folks on with us. Adam, Isar, Nate, Sean, whoever the 786 number is that called in from Miami. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Like, I really don't take this thing for granted, right? We hope that you got a bunch of value. We're getting some great kind of like responses here in the chat of Bobby Espin talking about really mind-blowing tips. Thank you guys so much. Adam Nimick talking about this was super valuable. Really glad I tuned in. Keep crushing it, guys. If you're listening to this as a podcast episode right now and you want to be part of this audience that can talk to people as amazing as Al and Jesse, every 2 weeks, I'm doing this live, right? 1 week is a pre-recorded content. 1 week is a live one that you can join. So connect with me on LinkedIn, get to know what this relationship flywheel created by an online talk show is all about. And, you know, I hope to see you on the next one. And I just want to continue to push the idea that relationships are more important than transactions. So focus on relationships before transactions, and it's going to start to feed itself. That's why this relationship-driven growth category that we're doing is all about not creating content that's audience in, about what an audience wants to do, but it's relationship out. It's who do you want to make content? Who do you want to get to know? Who do you want to get to be known with and make content with them? That's really the key. That's what we're doing right now. And I hope to see you on the next podcast. All right, that's a wrap. I hope you enjoyed that conversation and you got a bunch of value out of it. And if you did, it would mean the world to me if you reached out to our guest and let them know what you learned, what you thought about it. Everything that you need to connect with them is going to be in the show notes. And on top of that, why don't you double up and reach out to me? I'd love to hear from you. It really is why I do this, is so that I can meet awesome people. I would love to hear from anybody that you think should be on this podcast, including yourself, about how you build world-class relationships, how you create community, how you lead companies in this relationships over transactions methodology. And if you believe in that stuff, that is what we're doing at my company, Be The Stage. You can check it out at bethestage.live. But the Cliff Notes version is, we've learned that most companies know that they need to be making content and they know that they really want to drive a community. But where do you start with that stuff? The best way to start doing that is to create an internet talk show, because it allows you to create a strategic relationship with a guest one-to-one while you create strategic relationships with the audience one-to-few. And then when we repurpose the show for you and spread it out all over social media, you're creating relationships one to many. It is the ultimate relationship-driven growth engine to feed your entire pipeline, marketing team, and customer success. What companies call their go-to-market strategy can now be driven by community. If you're interested in that, go to bethestage.live, check it out, reach out to me. I would love to create an internet talk show just for you. Now, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to take a play out of the book of one of my heroes, Christopher Lockhead, the godfather of category design, co-author of my favorite business book, Play Bigger, and my favorite newsletter, Category Pirates, which I'm going to link in the show notes because I think you should subscribe. It's the smartest thing basically in the world. Anyways, at the end of his podcast, which is Follow Your Different, he always shouts out and gives a roll call to people that he thanks, and I want to do that too. I want to thank my team at Be The Stage. I want to thank JP, who is the editor of this content, the guy that makes all the cool micro content and makes everything look cool. Joanna, who distributes a lot of this stuff. She writes a lot of the descriptions. Nicola, who is my buddy that I've been mentoring for a couple of years out of Bulgaria, a really bright 15-year-old kid that writes a lot of the captions on social media. Marge, who is always keeping track of everything. She is the executive assistant of the dreams that all come true. Gina, who is a world-class integrator. She is our COO. She is the one that is just making all the processes happen. Whenever I say something, she designs a way to make it happen. It's incredible. My business partner, Isar, who without him, none of this stuff could be possible. That guy is the best. He's got an awesome podcast. It's called the Business Growth Accelerator. You should totally check that out.
I want to thank my parents. They're my inspiration. They're the best. My family, I love them to pieces. My wife, Marta, who is my muse and my inspiration for everything. If you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, go do it now. But before you do that, if you haven't checked out either episode 7 or episode 69, those are my 2019 and 2020 last call tracks where I give this like rapping, talking, motivational speech over like a really cool beat. It's actually the beat that I have on this podcast right now that I had custom produced by my guy, Michael, out of Russia, who's a sick beat producer. Check that stuff out. That is the origin story of my business, the origin story of what I'm up to. And it's really what I am most proud of. Episode 7, episode 69 of this podcast. Hope to see you on the next one. Hit me up on social media. I love you. Don't forget, relationships over transactions. That is the way that you win. It's a long game. Human beings are happiest when they're in service. So serve others and you will be able to open any door that you ever wanted. Never forget that. If you don't know how to serve others, everybody needs an extra cheerleader. Cheer for people. Be invested in their future. See what you can do for them. It all comes back in the long run. I really hope you reach out to me. I want to meet you. I want to talk to you. I want to help you achieve your dreams. Have an awesome, awesome, awesome rest of your day.